Here we are in our series, Jesus Said It. And so we're at one more. Jesus said, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. I want us to read John chapter 11, 17 through 44. Now, how many think we can read that many verses at one time and pay attention? Anybody? Can we focus for like 3 minutes in church as we read? Remember that before, like, everything was plugged in, your red paper stuff. Remember those days? So let's do that again. Or I say that as you read off the screen, right? On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for, everybody say it, 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will, next screen, caught me reading off the back. Give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last days. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Even though they die, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. Hey, the teacher is here and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, was still at the place where he had met Martha. Then when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet. Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved and troubled in spirit. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. The shortest verse of the Bible, verse 35, Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more, moved, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said, but Martha says, the sister of the dead man, hey, by this time it's 4 days. There's going to be a bad odor. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing right here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and help me out. Let him go. Father, I thank you that you have sent the Son, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the revelation, the glory of the Son of God. And today, would you reveal yourself? would you show us through this passage how you are loving us? In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever been confused at how God works? Have you ever thought to yourself, man, the word does say his ways are higher than my ways, but man, they way up there right now. Anyone in the house, there are times when love does not look like love on the outside. If you back up in this passage a few verses to verse 5 and 6, we will read or understand that Jesus knew Lazarus was dead. Excuse me, he knew he was sick. Martha had sent word to him. Jesus knew he would die. And the Bible says, now Jesus loved Martha and his sister Lazarus, or and her sister and Lazarus. Martha, Mary, Lazarus. So when he heard Lazarus was ill, here's what Luke 5 and 11, 5 and 6 says. He stayed 2 days longer. He knew he was ill. He loved him. How did Jesus express his love to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus? John tells us he stayed 2 days longer. And then Jesus explains this illness is for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified through it. Lazarus is sick. He's gonna die, and we're sticking around here 2 days later. We're not going there. So Jesus does not mainly show his love to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus by immediately eliminating their suffering. He expresses his love by revealing his glory and giving himself to them. John 1:14, 16 says, behold his glory, and from his fullness we receive grace. Grace comes from seeing Christ. And we see in this passage, it's a wild passage, that Jesus is revealing his glory, he's loving them, he's displaying his power. Those are all the same things. Number one, write this down. Jesus reveals his love with truth. Jesus reveals his love to Martha, Mary, with truth. At the beginning of the passage that we read, the Bible says that Jesus was delayed. He knew, hey, Lazarus is sick. Jesus knew that he could heal him, but he chose to stay in place 2 more days because he loved them. He loved them, therefore, he stayed 2 days away from them. Jesus arrives, he reveals his love with truth. By the time that Jesus got to the scene, it was 4 days in. He could have come earlier, he could have waited, or he could have not waited and come earlier, but he chose to come, and now it's 4 days in. This was not accidental. This was intentional. He comes when he comes on purpose at his right timing, at his timing. I don't like it when I'm in the middle of it, but greater glory many times requires greater difficulty. You want Jesus to be glorified in greater ways, I found that a lot of times that requires of you greater difficulty and displaying the glory of God in your life. Martha's like, Lord, if you've been here, where were you? I know how far away you were. They told me they told you. You could have come. If you'd been here, Jesus, this would not have happened. But I know that whatever God tells you to do, you can do. So it's this faith mixed with disappointment. On one hand, there's faith. On the other hand, there's disappointment, a lot of questions, a lot of whys. Many times, we have a hard time seeing the love of Christ in our suffering because we have different levels of expectation than Christ does. So there he is. He shows up. Martha's messed up, obviously. She lost her brother. Jesus says to her response, hey, if you'd been here, Jesus says, your brother will rise again. She said, I know it. I know he will in the resurrection of the dead. I know he will in the resurrection of the dead. Jesus' response to her, I am the resurrection and the life. She's looking for an alleviation of her suffering. Jesus is loving her by revealing truth to her. But she can't see it. He's bringing it in a way that she can't see right then. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Not just giving resurrection, he is the resurrection. Do you believe this? He says, though he die, yet he'll live again. That's Lazarus. Whoever lives and believes will never die. That's Martha. Physical death does not have the final say-so. Physical death does not have the final say-so. As a matter of fact, for a believer, physical death is not a defeat. As a matter of fact, for a believer, physical death is an advancement to be with Christ. It's appointed a man wants to die and then the judgment. Whoever lives and believes, you'll never die. Spiritual life begins at new birth. Life begins when resurrection power enters into a believer. Listen, and it does not stop at death. Oh, he's dead, but he'll live again. If you believe that you rise again, you'll never die. Jesus says in John 5:24, it's on the screen, you can read it with me. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has what? Eternal life. And will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Born again. Saved. With Christ. We become temples of the Holy Spirit. That is the thrust of world missions. To bring Christ where he is not. To advance the kingdom, for the kingdom of God to invade darkness so that those who hear will believe and have what? Eternal life. Revelation 1, we see the manifestation of that in the last day. Revelation 1 tells us in verse 18, Jesus says, I'm the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive. Forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Who has the final say-so? who holds the keys. Jesus displays his love with truth. The most important thing that he could bring to that crowd was a revelation of his lordship. He says, look, Lazarus is dead, but he's going to come back in a minute. If you believe in the Son, even though you die, you'll live forever. The love of God defined. John 3:16. For God so, what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. John 17:3. Eternal life means knowing God. Now this is eternal life, that you know not only the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom was sent. God's love to us is the gift of himself. God's love to us is the gift of himself. If we view God's love for us through the lens of our suffering or not suffering, we miss the glory of Jesus. God's revelation to us, his love to us, is a gift of himself, and that's what he comes to bring to Martha and Mary. Listen, I'm here. I'm the resurrection and life. Jesus loves you most by showing himself. Therefore, when you are in a situation like Mary and Martha, know that God has not left you. He loves you most when he reveals himself. A child may think that getting stuff is the highest form of love. But every good father knows the greatest gift is not things, but presence, himself. If we measure God's love for us by the level of our comfort, we miss him. He reigns on the just and the unjust. What's the word say about the hall of faith? The world was not worthy of them. They hid in caves. Some were torn asunder. Some were decapitated. They lost their lives. But the glory of God was revealed. And I've found that some of our hardest seasons are seasons of the greatest revelation of Jesus. Hold tight to him. Hold tight to him. Jesus reveals his love with truth. Second way he reveals his love, he reveals his love with this strong emotion. Jesus rolls up on the scene, and immediately the first interaction he has, Martha questions his motives. Jesus, if you'd been here, like, what? If you've been here, Jesus, you knew. You knew he was sick. We told you he was sick. If you had been here, he would not have gotten worse and died. Mary, virtually the same thing. If you had been here, Jesus, the crowd of mourners, they're mourning, they're comforting Martha and Mary and the family. Could he not have stopped this? All of them questioning his motives and his love for them. We don't understand right now what took you so long. Why were you not here when we told you about Lazarus? Do you really love us, Jesus? If you love us, look, why didn't you stop this? Jesus responds with this strong emotion. And I will tell you that I have shifted some of my thinking after some word study here. Let me tell you what I think this passage is saying and why I think it's saying this. And you decide what you think based upon my preaching. Verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had not come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, hey, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Once more, Jesus was deeply moved. He came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Verse 33, deeply moved in spirit and trouble. Verse 35, Jesus wept. You want to have a memory verse? John 9:35. Jesus wept. You get a star by your name. Verse 38, once more Jesus is deeply moved. I want you to think about something for a moment. Why was he so troubled? Before you answer that, be careful not to insert yourself there, but to ask, what is John trying to tell us about Jesus? What is John trying to show us about the Master? So in verse 33, he was greatly troubled. So if you look up that Greek word that means deeply moved, it's used in verse 33 and in 35. 33 and 35. And outside of this passage, in the whole Bible, it's used three other times. So we want to understand Jesus' emotions here. We want to understand why he's so moved. Why is he upset? Three other times, this Greek word is used outside of this context. It is never used as a word of compassion outside of John, the three other times. But it's actually used as a word of rebuke or warning. And it signifies an agitation. You ever been aggravated? It's the same word used at the pool of Bethesda when it was stirred. The waters were stirred. And it's the word Jesus used in John 14:1. Let not your hearts be troubled. So here's one thing clear. It's not a positive emotion. It's not a positive emotion. Jesus was shaken. He was upset. He was upset. Okay. It doesn't seem to me that these emotions he's displaying here are those of empathy or tenderness. When you look at the other places it's used and you look at the context, I see that and it doesn't appear to me that Jesus is moved with compassion here. He's moved with agitation. He's moved with irritation. I think Jesus is disturbed at the way his motives are questioned. Why weren't you here? Where were you? And with emotional forcefulness, Mary says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Something about Mary and Martha was deeply disturbing to him. Something about that was aggravating to him. Then the crowd, hey, isn't this the guy, he could open blind eyes? He could have done the same thing here. They're all questioning motive. They're wondering, and have you ever wondered, Jesus, where's the love? Jesus, I'm going through it here. Where's the love? Where's the love? If you love, or maybe I'm the only one. There's a documentary that walks through a class of young men going through basic underwater demolition school for the U.S. Navy. They're training to be SEALs, Navy SEALs. And in the documentary, there's an instructor who has a megaphone, and he's walking around with a megaphone and a hose. And these guys are all doing flutter kicks. It's probably 3 a.m. They hadn't slept in who knows how long, hadn't eaten. And he's squirting them in the face. Every time they try to breathe, he squirts water in their mouth. And he's walking around with a megaphone, and he's saying, this is intended to hurt. 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 Just squirting them in the face, aggravating them. If you just watched that segment and that's all you saw, you would think, what kind of person does that? What kind of person would cause discomfort? What kind of person would do that to somebody? And if that's all you thought, your view would be limited. Because that instructor knows what will be asked of them a year from that moment. They will be asked to go into virtually impossible situations to rescue hostages. Those men will be asked to go into virtually impossible situations and eliminate threats that take innocent lives. And if they cannot endure hardship on the side of that pool, they will not come back alive. And so the instructor, with a megaphone and a hose in his hand, is actually their friend. But in that moment, it does not seem that way. In that moment, it does not seem that way. Jesus allows difficulty, hardship, and trial, not because he does not love you. He wants to mold you and shape you into a lethal force to invade darkness. He wants to stretch your faith. He wants your faith to grow. He wants you to know that even in the most difficult, he is there. He wants you to know that even though it seems dark, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He wants you to know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus is not surprised by Lazarus' death. He tells the guys before they get there, I love them, therefore we're going to stay here. He will die, but this is about something greater. It appears to me that Jesus is disturbed by their unbelief and suspicion. Now, if you say, Pastor, I'm just not going there with you. If you say, I'm just not, all right. We're not going to fight over this one. But it appears to me that he is aggravated and irritated with something. What is he aggravated and irritated with? Them questioning his power and authority. I am the resurrection and the life, Mary. The greatest thing you can learn today is that if you trust in me, though you die, you will live again, forever. What we know is he is not distant, he is not cold, he is fully engaged. Like a compassionate husband who deeply loves his wife, is not indifferent if she questions his love for her. It bothers him. Jesus is bothered. Look, when we don't trust him, he has emotion. He has feelings. And he can handle the hard questions. And it doesn't seem to mind the hard questions. He said, "We'll sit here all day. I'm all ears. What do you want to tell me? What do you need to cast upon? I'm right here. You ever needed to just unload on the Lord? Lord, I thought you said, I don't understand this. God, what are you doing? He invites you. Come on. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Come on. I'm your counselor. I'm the great physician. I'll listen. I'm right here." But in those seasons, be careful, because unbelief can blind us to the revelation of his glory. Even his correction is love, because it leads us to truth. All right, Jesus reveals his love with truth. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus reveals his love with emotion. And thirdly is this: Jesus reveals his love with action. With action. Now, this is the fun part of the story. With God, the end is always the fun part. John 11:38 says this, throw it on the screen. It says that Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance, just like what we see in Christ. "Take the stone away," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor." It's like 4 days. We're in the desert. It's hot. He's been there 4 days. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" So Jesus says, "Look, I want to work with you for you to experience and see one of the greatest things you're ever going to see. So I'm going to give you some instructions and involve you in the process." He says, "Get some guys and move this stone out of the way." Martha's like, "Whoa, Jesus, I don't know if you know this, but you were late. And he'd be stinking. We're day four. Jesus, like, didn't I tell you? If you believe, you would see the glory of God." "Martha, I want you to trust me. Tell the men to move the stone. Martha, I want you to believe in me, that I love you and that I am who you say that I am. I want to reveal my glory to you right now in a powerful way." Verse 41. So they listened to him. So they rolled it away. They took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of those people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." So his prayer is public. He reveals, "I'm one with the Father." And look, he builds the faith of the crowd. He's ministered to Martha and Mary, and now he involves the crowd. "I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe." The same way that Martha believed, "I believe you are the Son of God, the Messiah. I want them to believe, Father, because that's the only way they'll be saved." When he heard, when he had said this, verse 42, Jesus called out in a loud voice. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands, feet wrapped in strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, who's the them? I'm guessing probably the same folks who rolled the stone away. Hey, take off the grave clothes and let him go. It is interesting that Jesus works with those in attendance to glorify himself and see the supernatural take place. As a matter of fact, the biblical pattern is God comes, works in and through his people to display his glory and to work the supernatural. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. When there's someone, call the elders of the church. Pray the prayer of faith. You know, if you want to see more sick people healed, I've just got a simple instruction for you. Pray for more sick people. Jesus, with authority, says, Lazarus, come out. Specific, powerful, and personal. Death obeys when Jesus speaks. And death immediately releases its hold, and here he comes. I mean, how do you see it? I mean, they did say he was wrapped up, right? Was he going to fall and break his neck, kill himself? I mean, like, Lazarus' dead body responds to the words of the master. And where there was death, life comes. Who rolled away the stone? Did Jesus? Who rolled the stone away? The crowd, the people. Who took off his, who helped Lazarus get unwrapped? Don't you see, church? Don't you see? God wants to send you to difficult places where there is no life. And he wants to use you to work with him, to glorify his name, so where there was dead things, life comes. He wants you to be able to hear his voice. And when he says, roll the stone away, you're like, huh? All right, I don't know what's going to happen when I do that, but I'm going to go ahead and go to Nepal. I'm going to see what happens. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I've been married 6 months and I'm going to Nepal. I'm going to check this out, see what happens if I just obey. How are we going to turn this? I'm just going to obey what you tell me, Master, and you're going to handle the part that I cannot do. Then life comes. So does Jesus unwrap Lazarus? No. Who unwraps him? The crowd. God wants to work with you to help bring life where there's death and untangle those who have been wrapped up with the blankets of death. Death over their emotions, death over their physical health, over their marriage, over their finance, over their mental health, over. He wants to work with you. And I just wonder, I don't know, it's not in the Bible. At some point, Lazarus is talking. I mean, is he mumbling? Hold on, Lazarus. I'm going to get you out of here, man. Just be patient. Did you hear what Jesus said? I mean, obviously, something happened in you, and I'm going to take this one off. All of a sudden, they They unwrap his head and his ears, right? He's hearing things. He did his eyes. So he's seeing. I wonder what he's looking at. It's Jesus. I heard that voice. I figured he was here. Had to be him. All of a sudden, his hands are unwrapped. His legs are unwrapped. He can walk. He can move. Apparently, he don't stink. Jesus raises the dead because he is the resurrection. Do you believe that? Take off his grave clothes and let him go. Church, that is our responsibility to help unwrap the grave clothes of people that Jesus has resurrected. That's our job. It's called going to all the world and make disciples. It's our job to teach them that Jesus loves them, to show them, to teach boys and girls in kids' church, to love babies in nurseries and sponsor lock-ins all night, watching 15-year-olds play kickball and drinking Red Bull and thinking, dear God, I wish I was at home sleeping. It's our role to be there, to say the words of Christ, to unbind people, to pour oil and wine on them and say, you're healed in Jesus' name. Now, Master, show me how to do that today. Some of you have been relegated to the sidelines and you have opted to be observers only and not participants. After almost 18 years, if you didn't love me, you probably wouldn't be here anyways. I wonder how Jesus feels about that when we do that. I'm going to let somebody else roll that stone away. I'm going to let somebody else unwrap those grave clothes. I'm going to let somebody else take out the trash. I'm going to let somebody else greet at the door. I'm going to let somebody else care for babies. I'm going to let somebody else give to missions. I'm going to let somebody else work with children. I'm going to let somebody else lead a small group. I'm going to let somebody else. I'm going to let somebody out. I wonder how Jesus feels about that. Church, listen. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you. Roll the stone away and remove the grave clothes and let him go. Worship team, come. Ezekiel 37. Isn't that such a great passage? Then God says to the prophet, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. Prophet, hear the voice of God. Man of God, open your mouth and say what I'm saying. You want to know a simple definition of prophecy? Is to say what Jesus is saying. Oh, dry bones come alive. Open your mouth. It is a picture of the church. It is a picture of the kingdom of God. It is a picture just like the stone, just like the unwrapping. Open your mouth and say, dry bones come alive. It is a deep call of intercession. God, would you save my neighbors? God, would you strip away grave clothes? And we intercede and we pray and we say, dry bones come alive. We actively engage with the activity of the Holy Spirit by declaring the things that Jesus has been saying for a couple thousand years. I'll make breath enter you. Now that's fun. You like apples? How about them apples? That's fun. That's fun, isn't it? Where there was death, life comes. Dry bones come alive. Dead marriage come alive. Dead goals come alive. Dead church come alive. Dead finances, come alive. Dead dreams, come alive. I will make my breath enter you. Romans 8, 11. We land. And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. I am the resurrection and the life. Martha, do you believe that? Life Church, Jesus would say to us, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you believe that, you will live forever. Even though you die, you'll live again. You will receive an inheritance of life forever. That doesn't begin when you die. It begins when you are born again. It begins when you are born again. You never die. Oh, you're going to die, but not really. You'll live again with me. The promise of the inheritance of heaven. Jesus, unfiltered, undiminished, no hold barred, Jesus for eternity, forever. A new glorified body. No man can see God and live. If we were to stand before him in this state, his power would just disintegrate. We'll receive a glorified body, a completely renewed mind in every capacity, and we will be in his presence unfiltered. Imagine it for a second. Heaven is where Jesus is, unfiltered. Do you believe he is the resurrection and the life? If so, two things. Number one, respond in faith and declare him the Lord of your life. If you're here today and you came in the room not serving Christ, you came in the room not born again, you came in the room not living for him, you came in the room far from him, reestablish his lordship of your life. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Believe in your mouth, believe with your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Secondly, if you're already there, then respond in faith to what he's asking of you in this season. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Here we are, Jesus. Lord, I've done my best to dissect your word, and I hope that you're pleased with what has happened today. I hope that I got it right. And I hope that you display your glory. You reveal your truth right now. Reveal yourself as the glorified Son of God. Jesus, where there's death in the room, bring life. We'll make this really simple. With heads bowed and eyes closed, number one, if you are spiritually dead inside, and you say, I don't want that. I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life and establish his authority as my ruler, my king. Today, I want to surrender to him. I want to surrender to him. If that's you, we want to pray for you. Today's your day of surrender. On the count of three, I want you to just look up at me, wave at me. I want to see you. Make eye contact with me. Today's your day of surrender. Today's my day. Sir, I'm talking to you. It's this whole thing was set up for you to display his glory. He loves you. Ma'am, this is for you. Young lady, this is for you. If you're here today and you need to establish the lordship of Christ in your life by surrendering your life to him and begin to follow him today, on a count of three, just wave at me. Just look up and wave at me. One, all across the room. Two, three. I'm looking to your left, scanning across the room, and across the room. Yeah. Is that you, Dad? That's you. Yeah. You struggled and you thought the Lord had forgot about you. But the Lord says, I did not forget about you. The Lord says, I did not forget about you. As a matter of fact, I've come to you so that you could have resurrection life. And Jesus is saying that to you. Do you believe? Trust him today. Trust him today. Trust him today. Surrender to him today. Why don't you give mama, baby? Surrender to him today. Surrender to him today.